Good Tuesday morning, everyone. We'll make that Wednesday, actually. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Four major grain companies, Archer Daniels Midland, Bungie, Cargill, and Consolidated Grain and Barge, have indicated they will not accept corn containing Syngenta's new corn root worm trait AgriSure Duracade until it receives proper approvals from export customers. The genetically engineered trait has cleared the necessary regulatory hurdles in the U.S., but does not yet have clearance in China and the European Union. In late January 2014, the National Grain and Feed Association and the North American Export Grain Association called upon Syngenta to halt sales of seed containing Duracade and Viptera, a separate genetically engineered trait. Over the past few months, China has rejected 600,000 tons of corn and corn products that tested positive for Viptera, also known as MIR-162. Private exporters this morning reported to USDA export sales of 101,600 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations during the 2013-14 marketing year, which began on September the 1st. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 16,196. It's up 9 points. The NASDAQ, 3,694, up 6.25. And the S&P 500 is 1,847, and it is up 1.25 points. There's still time today to get your tickets to the 25th annual all-day Ag Outlook meeting. It is less than a week away. It is next Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. If you purchase your tickets today, there is time for you to receive them still in the mail and have them in hand the day of the event. Looking out at the weather, it doesn't look like there's a lot of precipitation in the forecast between now and then, so roads could be good if that has been something you've been keeping your eye on as you're making a decision to go or not. Tickets are $30, and you can purchase them today at 217-333-7300. Of course, on the day of the event, we'll hear from Sue Martin as one of the keynote addresses. She'll have some technical information and also a presentation on how the pieces fit or will they fit in 2014. And we'll have presentations on Commodity One title of the Farm Bill and farmland values for 2014 as well. We hope that you will join us. If you come, we'll give you a 25th anniversary hat. It is a big deal that day. And also, of course, a Beef House lunch and a continental breakfast along the way as well. 217-333-7300 is the phone number to call. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Temperatures across the Midwest this morning are still downright nippy across most of the region, as sub-zero temperatures being noted down into portions of Iowa and touching on the northwest corner of Illinois, with positive single digits and teens occurring further to the south. This is just one out of the next 7 days, which will be very cold across a big part of the region. We're not expecting to see a lot of recovery. If anything, we're going to get colder before we get a chance to warm up any. There will be a number of days coming up here that will stay below zero for afternoon temperatures across the uppermost parts of the Midwest. Some of the lower portions of the region will do a lot better than that, but it'll still be colder by a significant amount. We'll expect to see some of the lower Midwest locations today seeing temperatures running mostly in the teens and some 20s. Tomorrow afternoon, there will be more of the same, but some of the coldest air may work its way just a little further south, so there may be some locations in parts of northern Missouri and central Illinois and central Indiana that stay in the the single digits and lower teens throughout the afternoon tomorrow. As we move on into the afternoon on Friday, we'll expect to see a little bit of recovery with the lower parts of the Midwest getting back into the 20s and 30s, but the northern areas will continue to be in single digits and teens. And there will be some reinforcing colder air coming up as we go into the latter part of the weekend and on into early next week, so there will not be any tremendous improvement across a big part of the region for at least the next 7 days. Low temperatures at night will drop below zero in quite a few areas. Tomorrow morning will be one of the coldest mornings. We expect to see sub-zero readings again like today down into southern Iowa, northern part of Illinois, probably northwestern sections of Indiana. And the lowest temperatures as we move into Friday morning will probably again be below zero across many of the very same areas I just mentioned, in addition to portions of northeastern Indiana and northern portions of Ohio. We'll expect the coldest air to back off just a bit as we move on into Saturday and Sunday mornings, but it will still be just bitterly cold across the north half of the U.S. plains. The lower eastern Midwest will see probably the greatest potential for some warming to take place over the weekend, with low temperatures maybe staying up into some 20s and 30s possibly as we wait upon a storm system to impact parts of the region. Right now, the forecast continues to be focused on the most significant precipitation over the next 7 days, occurring as we get into the weekend and the early part of next week. We'll see a new region of cold air pushing through the northern plains about that time. There'll be some Pacific moisture from a California storm that will have dissipated by then, moving across the western portions of the Corn Belt, and this will occur as we move from Saturday into Sunday. And some of that moisture will help to stimulate some significant snowfall and a wintry mix of precipitation types across portions of the Midwest. So our sloppiest weather will probably begin to evolve as we go through the heart of the weekend, and it looks like most of the greatest snowfall potential will occur as we move from Saturday into early Monday of next week. Now it looks as though the accumulations of snow will run anywhere from 2 to 6 inches across a large proportion of the region, with some potential for greater amounts. All we need is just a little bit more of a low pressure system to develop across a part of the lower Midwest. We will end up with a significant storm system on our hands. So we'll continue to watch the evolution of this particular scenario very closely as we go out through the next couple of days. In the meantime, any precipitation that occurs prior to the weekend is expected to continue to be quite light and limited across the region, and we're not expecting to have any serious travel issues until we do get to the latter part of the weekend and early next week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter May wheat is 688.5, up 5.75. July, 683.5, up 7.25. Soft May wheat, 614.5, down 3.5. July, 620.25, down 3.5. March corn, 456.5, down now a quarter, now a half, it's up 3/4. December, 469, up 1.25. March soybeans, 1403.75, up 4.75. November, 1166.5, down 1. March soybean meal, 468.20, down 140. March soybean oil, 4104, up 46. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
Well, if the function of the marketplace is to find a price that will ration soybean demand of old crop, it isn't getting that job done yet, is it?
No, and I think that's kind of a continuation of what we talked about last week, was the thought that maybe the market needed to throw another 20 or 30 cents on the market to price it out of the world channels, and we haven't been able to do that so far. I think it's very interesting when you look at the crush margins in China being negative, and you see a bunch of boats heading their direction. I still get a little bit worried that maybe they're going to see some cancellations down the road, but so far we haven't seen any indications of it.
And new crop has been along for the ride, but maybe not quite as much as you might have thought it would be.
No, I was kind of hoping it would tag along for the ride, but I think looking at the charts, you know, an objective of $12 can't be ruled out sometime down the road. I think the other thing, too, is the trade is starting to look at our domestic weather situation and realizing that we're not going to have an early spring. That usually keeps beans on the defensive against corn, but all things considered, as tight as beans are, they'll probably catch a bid and maybe get a bump with a spook or two.
Meanwhile, corn has chopped around this week.
It sure has. I think the looking at the charts, it's more of a constructive pattern. I think the upside potential is somewhat limited to the speculative buying because fundamentally we don't have a real case for it yet. But if we get any kind of a headline of consequence, I think the upside in the corn is probably, you know, opening up to another 7 to 10 cents, maybe a little bit more.
I was thinking maybe 480, 481 could be.
You know, I would like to think that. Looking at the May chart, I think you've got some long-term averages up around 492. And I think a lot of times if that happens, then the trade will start giving that $5 mark some gravitational pull. But the one thing I would caution everybody that so far this year, the corn has underperformed most people's expectations. So we got to continue to reward the market and not get too optimistic as far as our price expectations.
Meanwhile, there is talk in the marketplace now that getting that corn in might be a little tough because
exactly.
of the weather.
Exactly, and I think that's the next big thing to watch. I think weather is the key point for this growing season.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. March corn now trading 456.5 up 3/4. December, 468.75 up 1. March soybeans, 1405.5 up 6.5, now 6 even. And November, 1167.5. They are unchanged since last night's opening of the trading session. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.